Okay, so earlier in the summer, I got an email with the following shaila, and I think I discussed it in shul and a number of other places also. I'm just going to take a different angle on the shaila tonight, but I'll just use the shaila as like a pesach, as an opening point to discuss. The question that was asked was that there was a young man who was working in some office. I don't know, let's assume an accounting office or something, and he realized after eating dinner at home that he had forgotten something at the office, and things were pretty slow in the office. Everyone was leaving early, no one was staying very late, and this fellow realized he forgot something important. He has to go back into the office 9 o'clock at night. He goes back, nobody's there. The entire office is empty. He takes his backpack, and he puts whatever it is that he forgot in his backpack. Then he realizes that he has to go to the bathroom, so he goes to the bathroom, and unbeknownst to him, the lock to the bathroom door is broken. So he goes to the bathroom, he leaves his backpack in his office, he figures he'll pick it up on his way out, he closes the bathroom door, and he is locked in the bathroom, and there is nobody in the office, and his cell phone is in his backpack, which is in his office. So he is stuck there now, and what ultimately happened is something like 3 hours later, the cleaning crew came through, and they were able to break through the door. All right, spoken Camp Mor Rasha this summer, I used this shaila as an example, and I spoke in CSY Kolel to the Madrichim. I also used the shaila as an example of the difference between a Ben Torah and everybody else in the world. Everybody else in the world. I asked the ninth graders in Camp Mor Rasha, well, what's your mindset if you're that boy? Put yourself in his shoes. What's your mindset? So they all start to, well, I start thinking about, can I scream? Can I bust through the door? You know, all of a sudden they all become like Hercules. Can I bust through the door? Can I do this? You know, and what this person's mindset was, I wonder if I'm allowed to take a drink of water because I'm in a bathroom. And if I do take a drink of water, am I allowed to say a bracha? And am I allowed to learn Torah while I'm in here? Meaning you just see the world through halacha. So instead of getting angry, so one kid was saying, I would be yelling and cursing and banging the wall. And that, you know, okay, and that will accomplish nothing. You know, you may have to pay for damages later, but like that will accomplish nothing. Or you can actually be thinking about Torah, how you see the whole world. I told the Madrichim in NCSY Kolel, the greatest gift you could give someone is new glasses. Glasses to see the entire world through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's like much better than anything else. More than any given piece of information that you can convey is to just convey a whole new way of looking at situations. So the fellow who told me about this shaila is a good friend of mine, Rabbi Reuven Mendelwitz, who's I've quoted him many times in the past. He's the author of the Sefer Inside Stam, which is all about buying Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs. If you ever have someone that you have to buy tefillin for, a bar mitzvah boy or whatever, or if you ever have to buy mezuzahs, I strongly recommend buying the Sefer first, reading it, and having some basic knowledge of what the issues are. So anyway, he's the one that told me about the shaila, and he's told me afterwards that one of the chever in his kolo, who lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh, he learns in kolo, so one of the chever in his kolo came up with a great idea, that if the guy's really concerned that he's going to be thirsty because he's going to be there for a long time, and he doesn't know, is he allowed to say bracha because he's in a bathroom, so his idea was, why doesn't he just take a drink before he gets thirsty? And then he won't have to say a bracha, because if you drink water and you're not thirsty, then you don't have to say a bracha when you drink water. So if he just keeps on beating his thirst, right? He keeps on drinking in advance of his thirst, and then he won't have a problem. Then he won't have to say a bracha. So that's really the halacha I wanted to talk about tonight. Like, what are the limits of that? Meaning, is that you take a drink in order to swallow medicine? You take a drink not because you're thirsty, but because it's hot outside, and they tell you you're supposed to drink all day when it's hot outside. You have to remain hydrated. When we were in Eretz Yisrael, my family was in Eretz Yisrael last week, one of the tour guides told us, I think the number one liter of water per each hour that you're out. Now, no one's thirsty for that amount of water. That's a tremendous amount of water. But that's what they recommend. So you know that if that's what they recommend, you have to continue to hydrate. So would you not say a bracha on that because you're not You're not thirsty? What exactly are the rules? Is it only water? What if it's not, you know, exactly water? It's vitamin water, mineral water, carbonated water, it's Poland Spring water. It's, you know, what exactly is the definition of water in that regard? So all of this is what I wanted to talk about. It happens to be in the actual Shaila, in the actual case, under discussion. We spoke about it in Shul sometime over the summer. I think I mentioned, I asked for Mordechai Willig, and he said, I would tell the guy he could say a bracha, he could drink the water. If he's bored and he has a sefer in his pocket, he could take out a sefer and sit and learn in the bathroom. Our bathrooms are way, way cleaner than their bathrooms were, than their kitchens were, than their living rooms were, than their bedrooms were. He said that there's no doubt that it does not have a din of basic. He's a Gedali Wealgus, just sent me an email. I actually put the tshuva from Rabbi Abadi in the back of the packet. Rabbi Abadi says the same thing also in pretty strong terms, that our bathrooms are very clearly not a Beis HaKisei. Rabbi Abadi says he doesn't even understand, like, why people start this whole, you know, the Gemara talks about a Beis Kisa de Parsoi, which is a Beis HaKisei, that the waste doesn't stay in the Beis HaKisei, it, like, rolls away. So there's Diyun in the post-skim. Does our Beis HaKisei have the same status? Because after all, yes, when you flush, it goes away, but until you flush, it stays there, whereas the Beis HaKisei de Varsai, it never stayed there in the first place. So everybody says he doesn't even understand the whole deal. He doesn't, like, is there a Hava Amina that our Beis HaKisei is less clean than anything that they, I mean, think porta potty, but worse, right? That's what they had. So everybody also thought it would be a davar pashut, that it would not have a din of Beis HaKisei. I wouldn't say lechatchila, meaning lechatchila, a person shouldn't say, I need a quiet place to sit and learn. So I don't think lechatchila, that's what should be done, even probably for an Netilas Yadayim, lechatchila, but certainly in that kind of situation, as an actual matter of halacha, in that kind of situation, I would think that there's plenty of room to be made. I was just asked a shayla today, a bachur in yeshiva, in Eretz Yisrael. So yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael apparently have changed since I was there. It used to be that it was somewhat rustic, I guess, the accommodations in many yeshivas. So this guy told me that they have six guys in their suite. They don't even call it a suite. They have six guys in that. They have six guys in their suite, and they have three full bathrooms in their suite for six guys. I mean, I don't think we had in the yeshiva. I don't think we had three full bathrooms. But three full bathrooms. So they realize that they don't need three bathrooms for six guys. I mean, they, two bathrooms is plenty for six guys. And they also upgraded their refrigerator. Like, they upgraded their refrigerator in their suite, and it's a larger refrigerator, so it takes up too much space in the room. They wanted to know, can they take one of the bathrooms and designate it as a kitchen, you know, as like a non-bathroom, and keep their refrigerator in their, you know, in that third bathroom, which is not going to be used as a bathroom anymore. They're, you know, henceforth, they're not going to use it as a bathroom. It'll be a place for the refrigerator. Yeah, there's probably nothing wrong with that. It's going to be a super clean room. There's not going to be anything in there. And plus, you know, there's no issue to bring food into a bathroom, at least as far as I'm aware. Binyamin Palm told me that he asked his grandfather once about bringing food into a bathroom. And he said, I wouldn't eat a sandwich, you know, sitting in the Beis HaKisei, but there's nothing wrong with bringing food into a bathroom. Doesn't the Ruach Ra, he wasn't particularly concerned about affecting the food. I remember Mrs. Palm, Zechron of Racha, Binyamin's mother, told me how upset she was at Rav Palm for saying that. Like, what does he have to tell him these crazy things? No, everyone knows you don't bring food into a bathroom. But you know, Rav Palm was just, you know, giving his honest to goodness opinion. That was but all of that is not what we're talking about. What I want to talk about is this interesting halacha about drinking water, that here you have something. It's something that people take for nourishment all the time. It's people's primary drink. And the possibility that one does not have to recite a bracha when drinking water. So what I want to do is maybe start with the lamdas and then get into the halacha. You know, because whenever I've given this shir, this is Simin Yutas of of Chelek Beis of my Sefer, which I just got word yesterday was printed in Eretz Yisrael, so in a couple of weeks it will be here, so that's my plug. I have someone bring me a box tomorrow, hopefully, but in a couple of weeks the whole shipment will be here. So this is from Simon Yates of the Sefer. So what we're going to do is start with the lamdus, the ideas, and then hopefully go back to discuss some of the halacha lemaisa. Now, as far as the basic chakira seems to be, what exactly does one recite a bracha for? Certainly a person, you know, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that how do I know one has to recite a bracha rishona? So the Gemara has like 5-6 possibilities of what the source of bracha rishona is, a variety of psukim, kal v'chomers, things of that nature. Until at the end of the whole discussion, the Gemara says, you know what, at the end of the day, it's a svara, that it's asu l'hanas me'olam hazeh b'li bracha, that a person cannot get hana from this world without first reciting a bracha. That's after the Gemara had already suggested, you know, the Torah tells us v'yachalta v'savato v'erachta that you have to recite birchas hamazon, so maybe it's a kal v'chomer, the Gemara suggested, that if you have to recite a bracha after you eat kal v'chomer, you have to recite a bracha before you eat, but at the end, the Gemara says svara, it's a svara, that you can't get hana from this world without a bracha. But how do we define that? What kind of hana'a can a person not get without a bracha? Meaning, there are plenty of hana'as that you can get without a bracha. You walk out of your house in the morning and you smell the fresh air. There's no bracha on that, on fresh air in the morning, on enjoying some the sun peeking through the clouds or something like that. There's no bracha on that. So is that not geshmak? Is that not enjoyable? So what exactly, what is the hana'a that we're referring to that you can't get hana'a without a bracha? So of course everyone's going to say, we know what hana'a is, eating or drinking. Yeah. But what is the hana'a of eating or drinking? Meaning, what is the pleasure of eating? Where is the benefit in eating? So there really are two very distinct possibilities with significant nafkaminas. What is the pleasure of eating? Some people eat, all people eat because of both of these reasons, but at different times there's different emphasis, right? Sometimes you eat something, you went out to a nice restaurant and you know, you're full, you ate, or the food was delicious, but then the dessert menu comes and wow, that thing on the dessert menu looks fantastic, and you know, you're there on a gift card, you're not paying or some of that, you know, like and you have just the right amount of money left in the gift card, you know, it never works out that way, but you know so you order it. Why? Because you can go to bed hungry otherwise. No, you're not going to go to bed hungry, but it looks delicious. So it's hana'as garon, we'll call it. It's the hana'a of the taste, of the flavor, of the enjoyment of that kind of pleasure. But then, of course, there's the more fundamental reason that people eat, and that is to live. You eat because, not because you enjoy, not only because you enjoy it, you eat because it nourishes you, it sustains you. So that's what we call hana'as me'ayim. So the question is, which hana'a requires a bracha? You know, what would be nafkamina? Where do you have one without the other? You know, most of the time you have both. You enjoy some taste and it also nourishes your body. So nafkamina would be water, let's say. Let's say you're drinking water in a way where there's no taste. You know, it doesn't taste like anything to you, but it's helping to nourish your body. Or what if a person, Rahman al-San, has a feeding tube? So his stomach is being filled, but the Gemara has much more creative nafkaminas, though. The Gemara says, what about the following? A person eats a chatzi zayis. Let's assume for bracha achrona. For bracha rishona, there's no shir, no matter how small an amount you eat, you say bracha rishon. But for bracha achrona, you only say bracha achrona kazayis. So let's say a person eats a chatzi zayis, and then he throws it up, he vomits it up, and then he eats another chatzi zayis, or the same chatzi zayis again. So let's assume it still tastes decently good the second time down, right? So would he require bracha achrona? Well, that's this chakira, meaning he enjoyed a kazayis worth of food in his mouth and his throat, but as far as his stomach net gain, his stomach only gained a chatzizayis, not a full kazayis. So that's the Gemara's way of putting it. I thought it just like a good introductory paragraph on this whole topic is from the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos in the bottom of page Shin Chav Zayin over here on the front page of this packet that you have in front of you. He writes, Hine, La'avonis Inyan Zeh, in order to understand this whole issue, Va'adinim Amistafim La'halacha, and the halachas that emerge from it, Yesh La'hakdim Akdama Katana. We have to have a little bit of an introduction. V'hi, D'matzinu Lodun B'poskim Ha'im Hana'as Hamei Ayim, Hi Ha'goremes L'chiv Birch Sananin. Is it the Hana'a of your stomach that causes the obligation of Birch Sananin? Or Hana'as Ha'chayich V'agaron, or it's the mouth, the throat, with the taste. Afal Pishe Ein Lo Hana'a B'mei of Mei Achila, even though your stomach doesn't get any benefit from it. U'maskanas Ha'alacha L'ischashev Ofen. We consider both. What does that mean? We consider both as follows. Im nena b'me'av me'a achila. If you were nourished from the achila, v'hainu, sharav, otsame, you were hungry, you were thirsty, v'rotza b'achila shtiyazu, and you wanted to eat or drink because you were hungry or thirsty, even if you're just eating or drinking a little bit, afilu lo nena me'atam shalom achil, even though you did not enjoy the taste at all. For example, the food has no taste, or the person is ill and he can't taste anything. He doesn't have a sense of taste. Mikol makom kol sha'achal kiderech achila. As long as you ate in a normal way, harizagam kin gedar shachayich nana mimenu. That's considered that you got hana'a from the actual achila, even though you didn't enjoy the flavor. V'chayiv bebracha. Vim ein nana b'me'av me'a achila. And if your stomach did not at all benefit from the achila, kigon she'enu ra'av etzame klal. You know, you ever eat with somebody and they say, "Oh, I know I'm going to regret this later, but I'm just going to." Well, why would you eat it then? Like, if you're going to regret it later, what would motivate you to eat it then? So we know what motivates a person. You know, a certain sense of gluttony, a certain sense of wanting to enjoy that flavor, and the opposite of chachamin of barosho. You know, and so a person is not going to get any hanas me'ayim from that achila. It's only going to upset his stomach. It's only going to cause him problems with his stomach. Going shein rav, it's some klal va'ochel shosa machmas, or maybe machmas ones refua. A person eats or drinks because they need it for medication. I'm not thirsty at all, but I have to take these gigantic horse pills, and the only way to get those pills down is by drinking something in order to get them down. Oshar hechrech azay imnena me'atam shalamachalo ashtia. Even though your stomach's gaining nothing from this, because you're already fully nourished, fully hydrated, but you're going to enjoy it. You're going to take it down with the orange juice, and you enjoy the taste of orange juice. So that's so that would be enough for a bracha. Dal kol panim nena grono, because at least you benefit from the taste. Avlim lo nena me'atam shela ochel. But if you have neither, you're fully nourished, you don't need the nourishment, and you're not going to enjoy the taste at all. Then there would be no bracha on the eating or drinking. So that's just like an introductory, very broad picture of this halacha. But I want to get into some of the nitty gritty. So let's skip ahead a little bit over here to page Shin Lamed Hei. If you skip ahead to page Shin Lamed Hei. And this notion of Hana'as Grono and Hana'as Me'av is not nearly as simple as the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos presents it in those two paragraphs that we just read. And I'm going to ask you to bear with me a little bit. This is not going to be like our normal style of, direct halacha lemaisa. It's just, sort of studying the topic first. There are three distinct areas of halacha where this topic might matter. This issue of whether we look at the hana'a of the taste or the hana'a of the nourishment. One area of halacha is when it comes to isurei achila. There are many things in the Torah that are an isur to eat. You're not allowed to eat a nevela, a treifa, a behem, a temeya. All of these things, anything that's isurei achila. So what's usur? Is it usur for me to get hana'as hagaron or hana'as me'ayim from the achila? When do I get malchus? When did I violate the isur d'oraisa? Right, that's one category. Then there's a category of mitzvos of achila. There aren't very many. Nowadays, when we had karbanos, there were tons of karbanos that had a mitzvah sachila and ma'aser sheni and other things in Truma Torah for a kohen. But nowadays, it's pretty much matzah, right? That's a mitzvah sachila. So what about a mitzvah sachila? Is it hana'as hagaron, hana'as ame'ayim? How does one fulfill a mitzvah sachila? And the Gemara pretty much deals with this one somewhat directly as well. The Gemara talks about if you take matzah and you wrap it up in something else and you swallow it. So it's providing your stomach with all the nourishment it would normally get, but you're not eating it in the normal way. So is that enough to fulfill the mitzvah? And then the third category is what our topic really is and what we've been talking about, which is brachos. Bracha Rishona, Bracha Achrona, and are those two necessarily the same? Is Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona, is the geder of those two necessarily the same? So it starts with the Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us that there's a machlokas amoraim if the mechayev from Achalos Asuros, you're going to eat something, not you, somebody is going to eat something that's absolutely asur midaraisa to eat. He's going to eat a nevela, a trefa, a behema tamea, basar b'chalav, whatever it is that he's going to eat. So he is the mechayev that he got a kezayis worth of hana in his mouth and throat, or is the mechayev that his stomach got a kezayis worth of hana'a? Gemara says, two nafkaminas. Let's say he ate exactly a kezayis of nevela. So his stomach ended up not getting a kezayis because some get stuck between his teeth and his gums. Whatever. So it's slightly less. If you could be mitzamtzim, an exact kezayis, if you know the exact shear of a kezayis, right, and you're mitzamtzim, exactly the shear, and that's all you've consumed, then your stomach didn't get a kezayis. Your mouth got a kezayis, but your stomach did not. When you floss, something's going to come out. When you brush your teeth, something a little less is going, you know, so the Gemara says that's enough kamina. If the mechayev is whatever's in your mouth, so then you're chayev, yeah, you had exactly. But if the mechayev is hanas me'ayim, then you're not going to be chayev. Another nafkamina, the Gemara says, the nafkamina we said before. Person eats a chatzi zayis, vomits it up, and eats another chatzi zayis. If the mechayev is hana'as grono, so he got a kezayis worth of hana. If it's hana'as me'av, then he didn't have a kezayis worth of hana'a. So the Rambam paskins this shayla in Parak Yedalet of Hilchos Macholos Hasuros Halacha Gimel. And the Rambam writes, kezayis sha'amarnu chutz mishel ben ashinayim, Aval mashal ben hachanichayim, whatever's between your gums, mitzdarif l'mashe bala, sharenen agrono mikazayis, counts toward the shear, because what we're interested in is not your stomach, but your garon, your throat. Afilu achal kechatzi zayis vihikiyah, v'chazer v'achal also chatzi zayis atzmo sheheki. Even if you ate a chatzi zayis, you vomit it up, and then you eat that same chatzi zayis that you already vomited, chayiv. She'ein achiv el alanas hagaron, because zayis midavara aser. Remember when I was in high school, Rav Yonatan Sachs Shlita used to teach the top 11th grade shir in MTA. And I was not in his shir, but I was in the other top shir. So he Rav Sachs on Tainus Esther used to give a shir about this Rambam, because he thought like Purim Torah, you know, like that's closest he can come to Purim Torah, is to give a shir about a weird case of a person eating a chatzi zayis, vomiting it up, and then eating another chatzi zayis. So the chevra came out of shir, I remember talking about that. Okay, so you see from the Rambam, very very clear, that it's not about hana'as me'ayim, it's about hana'as hagaron. What if you have hana'as me'ayim? And the cases, the nafkamina we had is where you have hana'as hagaron but not hana'as me'ayim, right? Meaning your mouth got the kezayis but your stomach didn't. What if you could have the opposite? What if you have hana'as me'ayim without hana'as hagaron? You know, the Gemara didn't really talk about that nafkamina. Is it that like we don't care about your stomach? We're only interested in what's going on in your mouth? Or is it that one or the other is good enough? So l'chora, one should not be chayiv b'shari surim when you have hana'as me'ayim without hana'as garon, because the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Kuf Tes Vav and Beis tells us the case I mentioned before. If you take a matzah, you wrap it in something and you swallow it, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Why? Because that's a case of hana'as me'ayim without hana'as garon. So you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Mishnah Melech writes that if that's true of the mitzvah of matzah, that's true of all isurim as well. that when the Rambam says, I'm worried about Hanaz Garon, it doesn't only mean that, you need to also have Hanaz Garon. I'm sorry, you need to Hanaz Garon alone is going to be Chayiv without Hanaz Me'ayim. He also means that Hanaz Me'ayim without Hanaz Garon is nothing. It's not going to be an Isser either. Meaning if it's only if you have a Kazayis of Hanaz Garon that's going to be Mechayiv. The Raya is from the Rambam in Hilchos Avos HaTumah. The Rambam talks about a person who eats a Nevelas Oaf, and he wraps it in something and he swallows it. So the halacha is by Nevelas Oaf, the halacha is that it's metame bebeis ablia. That when you eat it, it's metame the person. When a person eats it in the normal way, then he becomes tummy. So the Rambam says, if you wrap it in something and you don't taste it, even though it goes down into your stomach, tar. You're not going to be tummy. Why? Because I don't care what's going on in your stomach. It all depends on what's going on in your mouth, what's going on in your throat. So the Minchas Chinuch even goes so far as to say that even if you hold that if you eat a chatzizayis and then you throw it up and you eat another chatzizayis, that you're not chayiv in that case, even if you, which would mean that hana'as garon alone is not enough, you would still agree that hana'as me'ayim alone is also not enough. Meaning, everyone agrees, says Minchas Chinuch, that what happens in your stomach is less important than what, or is not more important than what happens in your mouth and your throat. And the Minchas Chinuch brings a raya that you need Hana'as Garon in order to be Yotzei Mitzvah. You need Hana'as Garon in order to be in violation of an Isser. Because if you needed your stomach to be filled, he said, what's this whole business of Kedei Achilas Pras? Meaning, if it's about how full your stomach is, you know, whenever we talk about people have their shirim for matzah, so they know whatever they deem a kazayis, which is sometimes, you know, like the size of the house, you know, whatever they deem a kazayis to be, they know that they have to eat it within X number of minutes, again, whatever they deem a shir kedei achilas pras to be, right? Somehow, kazayisim got very big and pras got very small. But they it has to be eaten within that shir. Why? Why does it have to be eaten within that? Because that's an achila. But if achila is defined by how full my stomach is, why does it matter how quickly or slowly I ate? My stomach will be just as full in the end. Adrav, you could say I'll even be fuller if I eat more slowly, right? It's certainly not going to be less full if I eat more slowly. So, but if it's about how I'm eating it and how I'm enjoying it when it goes down, so if I'm just having like a little crumb every 5 minutes, you know, that's not eating. So says Minchas Chinuch, you see that the whole notion of a shir b'chdei achilas pras proves that we don't care about what's going on in your stomach. What we're interested in is what's going on in your mouth. There is room to argue that mitzvos and isurim aren't necessarily the same. Meaning the whole linchpin of this whole raya was the Gemara's discussion about matzah wrapped up. That's a mitzvah. The Minchas Chinuch then said, oh yeah, and the Mishnah Melech said, and the same is probably true for all Isurim as well. And he had a raya from the Rambam that way. But it's not necessarily the case. It could be that what defines a mitzvah sachila and what defines an isra achila could be different. But the pashtus is that they should probably be the same. Now, what about Birchas HaMazon? What about benching? So there's an interesting chiddush of the Pri Megadim. You know, we only recite a bracha achrona when we eat a shir. Does the shir have to be within a certain amount of time? So absolutely yes. We have a different chapter in the Sefer, maybe we'll discuss some other time. What happens if you have a very hot drink? So do you recite a bracha achrona? Did we discuss that one? I think maybe we did already. Do you recite a bracha achrona after drinking a very hot drink? Why? Because you can't drink a shir avias at one time. You have to drink it very slowly. You have to sip it very slowly. And normally, you're only chayv in a bracha achrona if you drink it quickly enough. I remember when my Rebbe Rav Silver came to my house for Shabbos. He's coming again this year, right? That's another scholar. Yeah. So when he came to my house for Shabbos a number of years ago, I asked him if I can get him anything, coffee, a tea, or something. So he asked for a tea, and he asked for it not to be too hot. So, because he doesn't enjoy it hot, but he wanted to just be able to down it so that it wouldn't cause the suffix brachos. What the post can recommend is if it's served hot, wait a few minutes, and then, or at least leave the last revius to just drink down at one time. So, mentioned Mishnah Berurah, if I'm not mistaken. But there is a din of shir b'chdei achilas pras, when it comes to achila for bracha achrona, right? A person could eat more than a kazayas of mizonos and not have to say an alamichi if he didn't have it within a kadei achilas pras. Says the Prima Gadim the following chiddush. You know, the Torah says v'achalta v'savata uverachta. That what's the mechayev of a bracha achrona? Sviya, that a person is satiated. The Gemara tells us that Kodesh Baruch Hu is no se panim the Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people because we are so wonderful that all he asked us is that we should bench when v'savata. And what do? Afilu kebeitza, afilu kezayis. Even if we just eat a small amount, you know, as long as it's more than a kezayis, we're willing to say a bracha achrona. Says the Prima Gadim, if you're saying a bracha achrona because you ate a kezayis or a kebeitza, then it's got to be within achilas pras. But if you're saying a bracha achron because you've actually achieved sviya, then it doesn't have to be within an achilas pras, because sviya is the time frame within it was achieved is irrelevant. Sviya is a state of being of your stomach, of how full you are. So he says you'd be chayiv levarich even if it's more than a kedei achilas pras, because the ikur chiv of birchas hamazon in a Torah is on sviyas meayim. This is a very interesting idea, meaning what we just said before was that when it comes to isurim and mitzvahs, I don't care about the stomach. I'm only interested in what's going on in the mouth and the throat area and the upper part, right, of the body. I'm not interested in the stomach. Ooh, but comes the Prima Gadim and says, when it comes to Chiyuv Birchas HaMazon, my primary interest, min HaTorah, is what's going on in a person's stomach. Now, Minchas Chinuch disagrees. And Minchas Chinuch holds that for bracha achrona you need me'ayim and garon in order to be chayiv birchas hamazon. You need both in order to be chayiv birchas hamazon. And he has an unusual raya. The raya is from a gemara at the end of Maseches Yuma. The gemara tries to figure out, you know, most of the time shiurei achila are b'kazayis, right? It's most of the time the shiur when it comes to mitzvah achila, isra achila is kazayis. We're probably all familiar with the idea that on Yom Kippur it's different. On Yom Kippur, when we're eating pachos mikshir, it's not that we're eating pachos mi kezayis. Yom Kippur this year is koseves hagasa, right? That's the pasuk of Eretz Chitzitena, the Shivas Haminim. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah tells us that each of those Shivas Haminim refers to a different shir midal raisa. So the date refers to a shear of Koseves Hagasa B'Yom HaKippur, right? It's a shear midal raisa, that's the shear of Achila and Yom Kippur. So in the last parak of Maseches Yuma, we actually finally get to the stuff that we're familiar with about Yom Kippur. Like the whole first seven parak of Maseches Yuma is all about the Avodah and the Beis Hamikdash, everything that unfortunately, we're not that familiar with in terms of Yom Kippur. Then at the very end, you get to like eating on Yom Kippur and the Chamish Inuyim, you know, the things that, and Tshuva, even a little bit about Tshuva and Tara and Kapara. So, you know, Ashrecha Mishol of Nemiyat, right? That's Mishnah at the end of Maseches Yuma. It's the difference between that. I was driving in Israel last week and I had my kids in the car and my nephew who lives in Ramat Eshkol in the car. My nephew's also 12 years old like my son. So they were listening to music and they're listening to that song. I'm not going to sing it for you, but Ashrecha Mishol of Nemiyat HaMetarim. So I said to my kids, where is this? In Shas. They're like, stop it, Abba, we don't, you know. So my nephew said, what do you mean? It's the last Mishnah in Yuma. Like, you know, of course. Like, yeah, okay, yeah. So there it's still, of course. So anyway, So the Gemara tries to figure out how big is a Koseves Hagasa relative to other shirim that we know. Is a Koseves Hagasa bigger than a Kebetza or smaller than a Kebetza? So the Gemara says it's definitely smaller than a Kebetza. Why? Because the Gemara says Ad Kama Mizamnin Rabbi Yudomer Ad Kebetza, because Ve'achalta V'Savata means a Kebetza, right? That you would be Chayiv in Birchas HaMazon if you had a Kebetza, because that's the definition of a Savata. But if now Yom Kippur, the geder of what makes you chayiv is not sviya, it's not v'savata. Well, how do I know you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Sounds like a silly question, right? But how do I know you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? Does the Torah ever say lo sochal on Yom Kippur, or lo yeyachel, or anything like that? What does the Torah say? There's a mitzvah of inui. So what's the opposite of inui? inui is some sort of pain, discomfort. The opposite of inui is yisuve daita, that a person is comfortable. So that's the geder of achila on Yom Kippurim. Not svia, not I'm fully satiated, but yisuve daita. He's calmed down. He's not like suffering hunger pangs, right? Not satiated, but they're not starving. That's what it is in Yom Kippur. Now, if a Koseves Hagasa were bigger than a Kebetza, then it wouldn't make any sense. Because the Gemara assumes that a Kebetza is enough to achieve Sviya. It's enough to satiate a person. Koseves Hagasa is not enough to achieve Sviya. It's only enough to achieve Yisuve Daita. So it must be that a Koseves Hagasa is smaller than a Kebetza. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara's Raya. Says the Minchas Chinuch, but if the Prima Gadim is correct, if the Prima Gadim is correct, that you chayiv in Birchas HaMazon, when you eat a Kedei Sviya, even in a time that's more than it, that you never eat a Kezayis B'chdei Achilas Pras, you eat so slowly that you never eat a Kezayis B'chdei Achilas Pras, then the Gemara's Raya is not a Raya. Because it could be that if you ate a Kebetza, you're Soveya, but you're not Yisuve Daita. Sviya and Yisuve Daita are not measured on the same line, meaning it's not a quantitative difference. Sviya is that your stomach is full. Yisuve Daita is that you don't feel you enjoyed the eating experience to the point that you don't feel hungry for eating. But it's not about how full your stomach is. So if you ate so slowly that you didn't have a gzayis b'chdei achilas pras, you never had yisuve daita. Yisuve daita is like you're starving and then like, so you take some. If you just take like a little nothing, it doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't feel like anything. That's not yisuve daita. But tzviya it might be if you do it enough times. So the whole raya, says the Minchas Chinuch, of the Gemara wouldn't be a raya if the Prima Gadim is correct. So it must be that the Prima Gadim is incorrect. But the Minchas Chinuch says, so while Minchas Chinuch thinks that Anos Me'ayim and Anos Goron are both important, he says that Anos Goron alone is definitely not Mechayiv Birchas HaMazon. And therefore, if you eat a Chatzi Zayis and you vomit it out and you eat another Chatzi Zayis, you have Anos Goron, but you're not Chayiv in Birchas HaMazon. You need Anos Me'ayim as well to be Chayiv in Birchas HaMazon. So Birchas HaMazon may be different than mitzvos and isurim of Achila. There's a tshuva in the Chalkas Yaakov. What about a feeding tube? So a feeding tube, clearly there's no hana'as garon at all, but there is l'chara hana'as me'ayin. So the Chalkas Yaakov writes, he says a number of things, but he writes that hana'as me'ayim l'chud is nothing as far as bracha is concerned. So there would be no bracha on the feeding tube. But then he says, where he disagrees with what the Minchas Chinuch said, he thinks that Hana'as Garon alone is enough. That if you just have Hana'as Garon and not Hana'as Me'ayim, that would be good enough. And he has two rayas that would be good enough. Raya number one, I see we're not going to get to the drinking water part, but okay, I never got to say this part. So the raya number one, that Hana'as Garon alone is enough, is the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Kimcha de Sa'ari, barley flour, right? Nogeya to Menachos, right? Because we were talking in the Daf that any mincha that's brought Shalol L'Shma is kasher below al Bang Meshem Chav, except for Minchas Chote and Minchas Knaos. In the Amud Yom Yosef, the Masechta Sota, Minchas Knaos, Minchas Sota is the only one, sort of. I mean, there's another one also, but the only one that's from barley. Why? What is it about barley? So the Mishnah says, Masechta Sota, she did a Maisa Behema, so Karbana Ma'achal Behema. It's not good. It doesn't taste good, barley flour. The Omer is also barley flour. The Gemara tells us in Sota, it's so refined and sifted so many times that that's actually good. But the Sota's carbon is disgusting. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, if a person eats Sa'ari, it's kashalu kukiani. It causes a stomach disease, worms in the stomach, the Gemara says. You still say a bracha, because you may enjoy it when you eat it. The achila itself, so says the Chalkas Yaakov, what do you see? It's only harming your stomach. but you're enjoying it while it's going down. You know, that case of the guy in the Chinese restaurant, I know I'm going to regret this later. Right? He knows that his stomach will never enjoy this, but he enjoys how it tastes when he's going down. Nothing against Chinese restaurants, but, I mean, Lemaisa, right? So he knows that he's going to enjoy it when it's going down, but he's not going to enjoy it later, says Chalkas Yaakov. That's exactly that case in the Gemara. Hanaz Goron alone is enough. And another Gemara, an Amud earlier, Lamed Heim Bezim Brachas, and Pasman Shulchan Aruch, that Shemen, if a person drinks oil, he doesn't say a bracha on it because it's mazik. Meaning, the Gemara is clear, it doesn't taste good, and it's harmful for his stomach. So the Bach, tries to be miyashiv. The Rambam writes that he says a shahakal on it. He just doesn't say a bor priya eitz on it, but he would say a shahakal. That's how the Rambam understands. But the Torah and all the other poskim say that you don't say any bracha whatsoever on Shemen. Why? Because it's not hana'as garon. But if it were hana'as garon, even if there's no hana'as me'ayim, then it would be a bracha. So you would recite a bracha rishona on hana'as garon alone, according to the Chalkas Yaakov. Now, the Egle Tal just points out an unbelievable chiddush, probably against Shulchan Aruch, but it's a chiddush in understanding the Rambam, that he suggests that the idea of Hana'as Me'ayim may be different for Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona. And he suggests the following yesod, which is a pretty compelling yesod. He said, why is it that there's no Bracha Achrona on Reyach? A bracha rishona on reyach, right? Before you smell besamim, bari minei besamim, bari atzi besamim, bari yisvei besamim. A lot of people are not familiar that there are actually separate brachas depending on what type of fragrant thing you're smelling. But there is a bracha rishona on reyach. What about a bracha achrona? How come there's no bracha achrona on reyach? So I would have said, because there's no shir. Right, bracha achrona requires a shir. You can eat a kazayis, you can eat a kabet, right? But there's no shir. Says Egle Tal, no. The reason that there's no bracha achrona on reyach is because a bracha has to be always on something that's still there. Once the item is gone, once it's not there anymore, there is no bracha. So he says, memela, it turns out that a bracha rishona might be on hana asgaron, like the Chalkas Yaakov said with all those rayas. That what's going on in your mouth, because that hasn't happened yet. That's still to come. That's not gone from the world already. But a bracha achrona, that has to be on hana'as me'ayim, on the satisfaction you feel in your stomach. Because it can't be on the enjoyment of the taste in your mouth, because by the time you're saying the bracha achrona, that's gone. It's no longer there. The enjoyment is already over from your mouth. So it could be, says the Egle Tal, that since a bracha has to be on what's present, there's a difference between bracha rishona and bracha achrona. And he says, and that's why dafka, the Gemara says, the pasuk says, v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. Why does the bracha have to be on v'savata? Because v'savata is what's left at the end of the meal. The v'achalta is not there anymore at the end of the meal, but the v'savata is still there at the end of the meal. The Gemara tries to say that we know bracha rishona from a kal v'chomer, from bracha achrona. Doesn't that imply that the geder is exactly the same? That was a havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara's maskana is that how do I know bracha rishona? Svara. Asalamas melam azablo bracha. Independent of bracha achrona. So it could be that there are two totally separate mechayvim when it comes to bracha rishona and bracha achrona in terms of hana'as me'ayim and hana'as and hana'as garon. So we didn't get to the actual shayla of drinking water, but there is such a halacha that if a person is not thirsty and he's not going to, and it's tasteless, so there's no hana'as garon and no hana'as me'ayim, that there would be no bracha. But it could be for two different reasons that there's no bracha rishona and no bracha achrona. Bracha Rishona, the emphasis might be the Hana'as HaGaron, like the Chalkas Yaakov said. Bracha Achrona, the emphasis might be Hana'as Me'ayin. Okay, we'll stop there.